Exodus chapter number 20. And last Sunday, we started a series of messages on the Ten Commandments. Now, I know you probably, you may can see some of them. We had these made, and some of our church folks, again, some of our church folks had this made and done a good job on them and hung them up. We did an introduction to the Ten Commandments last Sunday morning. And if you haven't gotten that, I think it's out on the table. And I'm not telling you to get it because I'm the one preaching it, but there's some information in there that you may want to get. This particular Sunday, we're going to deal with the first commandment. And that first commandment is, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And it's not hard to understand. It has nothing to do with prophecy. It has nothing to do with Iran's nuclear system. It has nothing to do with the economic crash that may be coming. Rather, it is a message from God to America and the world. And it's real easy to understand. And it was a message that was written over thousands of years on two tablets of stone. And it was a message that was meant to be honored and obeyed. They're not 10 suggestions, they are 10 commandments. These commandments don't get you to heaven, but these commandments are something that we go by because we are saved, not because we want to be saved. Exodus chapter number 20 and verse 1, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, God, I pray you'd bless our time together. Lord, I pray that everybody listen just for the next few minutes. Lord, we'll thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. The whole Bible is reduced to 10 proclamations from God to man. Historically, civilizations have obeyed these 10 commandments, have prospered and flourished, while civilizations that disobeyed these 10 proclamations have been crushed and buried in the boneyard of human history. These proclamations I'm referring to are 10 commandments. Despite the fact that these proclamations are God's gift to man, they've been ruled unconstitutional by the courts, forbidden in public schools, mocked in universities, and targets of lawsuits by the ACLU. The Ten Commandments if they are so powerful, if they are so perfect, why has our Supreme Court thrown them out? Well, the Apostle Paul describes the Supreme Court like this: professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Some are saying that the Ten Commandments are out of touch. They're out of date. They're too antiquated for our progressive society. But Jesus said of the Ten Commandments, "Whosoever shall do and teach them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." How would you like to be called great by a fellow by the name God in the kingdom of heaven? I know it's kingdom, but hey, just won't give you a little information on the church. The church is going to be in the kingdom. Many have said that these Old Testament laws are for the Old Testament and they're done away with. Well, you might want to tell the Apostle Paul, because in Romans 13, he quotes those Ten Commandments. These are laws not given to a nation for as rules of regulation or for a rules of relationship, but a reflection of a relationship. You don't keep the Ten Commandments in order to have a relationship with God. You keep the Ten Commandments because you do have a relationship with God. They're not rules for religious people. They're guidelines for God's people. Hallelujah. In our home, we have commandments. You have in your home, you teach your kids. We said this last week. You got to teach your kids rules, regulations, not so they'll be your kids, but because they are your kids and you love them. We'll see the first commandment is not only the first commandment, but it is the foundation to the other nine. Because if you don't get the first one right, you probably ain't going to get the other nine right. And God says, hey, I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to have a relationship with me. And if you have a relationship with me, then this is what I would love for you to do to have a relationship and fellowship with me. Three things about this first commandment I want to give you. Number one, God deserves our undivided attention. Before he tells his people what he wants them to do, he tells them first who he is and what he has done. Notice right here it says in verse number 2, I am the Lord thy God. Hey, that's an introduction. I am God. There nothing in the Bible debates whether God exists or not. Jesus never debated whether God existed or not. The atheist can go jump in the river. I mean, why would an atheist spend their whole life trying to fight against something that they don't believe exists? I don't believe in pink flying polka-dotted elephants. I've never run a newspaper ad. I've never had a radio program trying to convince people that I do not believe in any such thing as pink polka-dotted purples flying elephants. He says, I am the Lord your God, and you don't have to argue. Genesis 1:1 says it very plainly. In the beginning, God. Psalms 14 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, let me tell you this, friend, there is only one God. It's not Allah, it's not Buddha, it's not Muhammad, it's not Mary Baker Eddy, it's not Reverend Moon. It is the one and true God, Jehovah God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He divided the sea for the children of Israel. He walked through the fiery furnace for the three Hebrew children. He delivered Goliath into the hand of little David. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die for the sins of the whole world. And that same son is coming back one of these days as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Polytheism. Poly. Many. Some people believe in many gods. Ancient Egypt had over 2,000 gods. India has millions of gods. Do you know why people in India are starving? They worship another god. Their children starve to death in the shadow of sacred cows because you have to feed the cow and let your children starve. Rats eat 30% of the grain harvest in India. You can't kill the rat because it could be your Uncle Harvey. You can't kill the cow because it may be your Aunt Susie. Polytheism, socialism. Socialism says that the state is God. You don't have to ask God of heaven to supply all your needs. You ask the state to supply all your needs. The state is your God. Well, let me tell you something, friend. If the state has the power to give you everything, then they have the power to take everything away. Just remember that. Pantheism. Pantheism means all. Everything is God. Yeah, that includes the tree huggers. The tree is God. The New Age environmental tree huggers. Oh, we don't have to go to church on Sunday. I can be out here in the woods hugging this tree on Sunday morning looking for Bambi to come by. This is my church out here. I hug this tree because God is in the tree. I shoot Bambi because God is in the Bambi. Amen. This world is in a mess. The God of pleasure. 2 Timothy 3:4, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Philippians 3:19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, whose mind's on earthly things. I know people who will pay $5,000 to go to a football game, sit in the snow and maybe the rain. They'll throw their hat,
They'll throw their seat up in the middle of the air. They will take their shirt off in sub-below 0-degree weathers. They will paint their fat bellies as blue, red, and polka dot green to support their team. And they will act like they have lost their ever-loving mind. But they won't go to church on Sunday because it's too far. It's been raining. It's snow on the ground. And besides all of that, them people down at Holy Hills, you don't want to be around them folks anyway, because every now and then they say amen. They shout hallelujah. And it's just, I'm not that kind of a fanatic.
Yeah, amen.
Society appeals to pleasure. Nightclubs are overflowing while our churches are closing down. What does Sunday mean to most Americans? NASCAR and NFL. Possessions is a lot of people's gods. Many bow down to the almighty dollar. Houses, cars, and fashion. Big screen TVs. Some of you are sacrificing your marriage for more money. You've destroyed your relationship with your children for more money. You never see your children. You're gone before they get up. You come home after they go to bed. You sacrifice your health for more money. And now you're spending all of your money to regain your health. How stupid is that? Hallelujah. This first commandment ain't going over too good. God robbers are idolaters. You speak to a man, you say, how do you support yourself? He says, well, my business supports me. That's idolatry. Let me explain. A little boy bought a loaf of bread and someone asked him, said, where'd you get that bread? He said, well, I got it from the grocery store. And he asked him, says, where'd the grocery store get it? He said, well, the grocery store got it from the baker. Where'd the baker get it? Well, he got it from, made it from flour. Where did he get the flour? Well, it came from the miller. Where'd the miller get the flour? He got it from the farmer. Right. Where'd the farmer get it? Farmer got it out of the ground. Where'd the ground come from? Well, little boy says it come from God.
Yeah. Amen.
Said, fellow said, well, let me ask you the same question. Son, where'd you get that loaf of bread at? See, some of you need to realize your business come from God.
Right.
And you wouldn't have it unless God supplied your needs through that.
Right.
We need to remember, thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Secular humanism is a lot of people's God. That says there's no right, no wrong. If it feels good, do it. America has become a pagan society, worshiping ourselves. When the Supreme Court declares it's unconstitutional to read the Declaration of Independence because it refers to a nation under God, we have become a pagan nation. When the public school teachers force Harry Potter and Witchcraft 101 down the throats of our children and our grandchildren, but we can't hang the Ten Commandments on the wall of the school, we have become a pagan nation. When a 10-year-old girl is ordered to stop reading her Bible on the school bus, we have created America that the founding fathers would not recognize. When a U.S. congressman runs a homosexual dating service out of the basement of his home, and then he goes home and gets reelected and reelected again, we are a pagan society. We need to get back to thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's either back to the Bible or back to the jungle. It's time to get back to the Bible. Bring the Bible back to your home. Bring the Bible back to your schoolhouse. Bring the Bible back to your courthouse. Bring the Bible back to the White House. It's back to the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Popularity sometimes is people's gods. They want to be popular. They're more worried about being popular. I got news for you. Your ego is not your amigo.
Amen.
Idol. I. Doll. idol. I doll. Genesis 3:5, Satan says, you should become as gods, knowing good and evil. Jesus spoke of those who did things only to be seen of men. Some people's opinion is their God. Nobody's opinion matters but theirs. Because you ought to see some of the looks I'm getting right now. Let me just back up a minute. Sometimes you just back up and punt again. Some people, you know, that my opinion is more important than anybody's, and my opinion is my God. Nobody else's opinion matters. Sometimes people are gods. Not just rock stars, not just Hollywood stars, not just sports idols. Sometimes your family reunion is your God. Sometimes maybe your boyfriend is your idol God. You think more of him than you do God. You think more of your girlfriend than you do of God. On the tombstone of a little girl, a teenage girl, her parents put this on her tombstone. Her parents put all their wealth in one vessel, and the shipwreck was total. Matthew 10:37 says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Projects. Some people get so wrapped up in political parties, PTAs, little leagues, they forget who God is. Who's on the throne of your life, ladies and gentlemen? Who is controlling your life? I'm telling you this, commandment number one is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He uses a second personal pronoun here. He says, I am the Lord your God. And then he says, hey, I'm your God. Why am I your God? Because I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. If you're saved in this room right now, God Almighty has brought you out of the house of bondage. He's brought you out of the house of sin to be free. And who the Son sets free, he's free indeed. So don't forget who God is. God was reminding the Israelites that he was not only their ruler, but he was their redeemer. You got some ladies standing around a little baby carriage. They're looking at the baby. One of the ladies says, oh my, what a healthy baby. The other one says, oh my, what a beautiful baby. The other lady says, oh my, what a chubby little baby. And one woman steps up and says, hey, that's my baby. It does make a difference, don't it?
Yeah, right.
Some people talk about God. But I'm talking about this, ladies and gentlemen. That's my God.
Amen.
You're talking about. That's my God you're running down. That's my God you're taking the name in vain. That's my God who redeemed me from sin. That's my God.
Amen.
Oh, don't talk about him unless you know him. God redeemed, rescued, and restored them. Not because of anything they did, just simply because God loved them. Say, preacher, the Ten Commandments, they save anybody in the Old Testament? No, the New Testament confirms that. The Old Testament law didn't save anybody, didn't cleanse anybody from sin. And watch this, God redeemed the nation of Israel by the blood on the doorpost before he gave them the law. He loved them before he gave them the law. And my friend, he loved you at the cross of Calvary. And now that you're saved, you ought to want to do like the Apostle Paul says, I can't keep those Ten Commandments in my flesh, but in my spirit with God's help, I want to do what God wants me to do. And that's what he says right there. Thus saith the Lord. He wants your undivided attention. But number two, God desires our undivided affection.
Amen.
He He wants to know, ladies and gentlemen, that you love Him. He's already proved that He loves you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants loyalty from you, just like your wife wants loyalty from you, just like your husband wants loyalty from you, just like your church wants loyalty from you. Is it so much to ask? Why can't we give our loyalty and our allegiance to God Almighty? John 14:21, He says, He that heareth my commandments and keepeth them, it is he that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and he will manifest himself to him. Yeah. Matthew 22, Jesus basically reduces all the Ten Commandments, all of them, down to two. He says, down to two, love God and love the neighbor as yourself. Love God, the first four. Love God, the last six. Love your mankind, your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
Jesus pulled them down to those two. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, I'm going to get down to this last point. No amens, please. God demands our undivided attention. He wants our undivided affection. And number three, He demands our undivided allegiance. Notice what He tells them in verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God will not accept being prominent in our lives. He wants the preeminence in our lives. You ever wondered this? Why did God send 10 plagues on the people of Egypt? Because they had 10 major gods. And Jehovah God was demonstrating to them the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The Egyptians worshiped the cobra. And the cobra was on Pharaoh's crown. It was on his staff. And the cobra, they worshiped the cobra. Moses walked into the chambers of Pharaoh. Moses had his staff. He threw his staff down. It turned into a snake. Pharaoh said, that's no big deal. I can do that too. He called Harry Potter out of the back room. And Buffy the Vampire Witch Slayer, whatever her name is. Here they come. They threw their rods down. Guess what? It turned into two snakes. You say, you mean the devil can do? Yes, the devil can do that kind of stuff. And you better watch about reading your horoscope too. The devil can make stuff happen. I took my glasses off because some of you look better with my glasses off. Some of you are going... Hey, the devil can do some stuff too. And by the way, I hope I don't offend you none. But the devil can do stuff on TBN too. Well, I lost the other half of the crowd then. Moses threw his rod down, turned into a snake. Guess what? Moses, or Pharaoh said, that ain't no big deal. We worship the cobra around here. They threw their rods down, two snakes. You know what Moses, a snake, did? Swallowed the other two snakes. And while that snake was swallowing Pharaoh's snake, that snake was saying, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's why the God says, you're not going to have another God before me. The next God was the God of the Nile. Fresh water, the source of light, source of life, rather. They worshiped that Nile River. It was a God to them. Moses took that rod, stuck it in that river, turned it into blood where they could not drink it. And while that river was running blood red water, it was saying to the Egyptian people, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The next god was the god of the crocodile. The god of the crocodile, they feasted on frogs. And they said in Egypt, you couldn't hear a frog croak. And if it was quiet, you would never hear one. Because if they ever croak, and they were quiet as a mouse. Because they didn't want to be swallowed up by the God of the crocodile. God says, well, I tell you what. I'll infest the whole place with frogs and run every crocodile in town out of this place. And every one of those crocodiles were croaking. And they were croaking. And them crocodiles run from here to there, never to see a crocodile ever again, because they got sick and tired of hearing these frogs croak. And every time these frogs croaked, it said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The next God was the God of darkness. God sent darkness because the Egyptians worshiped the sun god. And God says, well, I tell you what, we'll cut the lights out and see who the sun god is. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know why God drowned Pharaoh? Let me tell you real quick. Some of you look bored as... Listen. Next Sunday, come on and we'll put a ball game up here and you can watch the ball game while I preach.
Yeah.
You know why God drowned Pharaoh? History records that every time Pharaoh walked into his throne, his court, they would bow down to one knee and they would say, behold, the living God. Behold, the living God. And they would say that until he sat down. Behold the living God. And then he would sit down. God waited till they got to the Red Sea.
Amen.
Yeah. Where the whole court was there.
Yeah.
And all the children of Israel was there. And God throwed that water on top of Pharaoh and all of his army. And while that water, that Red Sea, was parted back till the children of Israel got to the other side, and then God clapped his hands and that water come over the top of them, and while that water was coming over the top of them, God was saying, there's not but one living God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. My friend, it's time to get back to there is neither. No salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God says, I don't want any gods. Notice the last two words, before me. You know what that means? That means even in my presence, I don't want any other gods around. I don't even want them before me, behind me, nowhere, in my presence. Don't want any around. God is a jealous God. He is a jealous God. It's him or nothing. Him or nothing. I'll tell you this story. One time, the Philistines came in, stole the Ark of the Covenant. They brought it in. The Philistines worshipped a god called Dagon. Dagon was the fish god. And Dagon wore this fish looking hat. If you turn sideways, it was a hat that had a mouth on it. Had a little eyeball indention there, and it was a fish hat. You'll see them around. And Dagon wearing that stupid fish hat. And they brought the Ark of the Covenant and set it by Dagon. When the Philistines got up the next morning, Dagon was laying down on his face. They picked up their God. Said, oh, Dagon, you fell. Oops, let me pick you up. Aren't you glad you don't worship a God you have to help up? Aren't you glad your God helps you up? Hallelujah. Oh, pick Dagon up. They picked him up, set him right beside the Ark of the Covenant of God. And the next morning, Dagon, face over. All his hands were broke off. His feet were broke off. You know what God's saying? There shouldn't be no other gods before me. It's me or nothing. You can't worship me on Sunday and worship them other gods that you worship through the week. It's me or nothing. That's pretty harsh, but it's either me or nothing. Young fellow, I'm winding down to a close here. Had an illustration. Let me give you two illustrations. One illustration was this. A man wrote a book called First Things First. He had a big container. And he had one nice-sized rock on the table. And he put that nice-sized, a big rock, and he put it down in that container. Almost filled the whole container up. And he asked the people in the audience, he said, is the jar full? Everybody's like, yeah. I mean, you ain't going to get another rock that size in there. Then he brought in a bunch of little pebbles and he poured in on top of that. And it filled all around the empty space around that. And he said, hey, is it full? Everybody's like, yeah, it looks pretty full to me. Then he brought sand, poured sand in. And its sand filled in all the little cracks and holes there. He says, now, is it full? And the audience was like, well, I don't know. It looks full to me. Then he brought a water, poured the water in, filled the whole thing up. He said, the moral of the story is this. If you don't start out with the big stuff, you'll never make room for it. First commandment is the big one. You better put the big one in first. Or you'll fill your little container with pebbles, sand, water. And God's over there going, got any room in there for me? We should have put you in first. Sorry. You better start with the first one. And put the big one in first. You got room for him? I'll tell you this, back in the pioneer days, the country, when the railroads were being built, men dreamed of a railroad that would link the East and the West. They called it the Transcontinental Railroad. And the plans were schemed that they began to work, and the ribbons of steel crept closer and closer till finally, out in the West somewhere, near the borders of New Mexico and Colorado, they met. They planned a great celebration. And they had this grand celebration. All these steam engines were coming. They were going to blow their whistles. And the governors of both states were there. And they took a silver hammer. And they took a golden spike. The last one that would join the East and the West. And they drove that spike down into that railroad. A golden spike in New Mexico and Colorado that joined the East and the West. And as soon as they drove it down, they hollered to the top of their lungs, it's finished. Now, East and the West have been joined together.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. On a hill called Calvary, there were some spikes that were there. They drove in the first one. They drove in the second. They drove him into his feet.
Yeah.
And when they got done driving those spikes, there was a God that was suspended between heaven and earth on the cross, and he said, it is finished. Heaven and earth is now connected. And God reached, or Jesus Christ reached up to God with one hand, and with the other hand he's reaching out to you saying, I can join the East and the West together, and by Jesus Christ you can have a way to go to heaven. My friend, I think it's time for us to get back to thou shalt have no other gods before me. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you'd bless the invitation. Lord, I hope and pray that we've said and done what you've asked us to do. Lord, these 10 commandments. Lord, not for salvation, but Lord, because we are saved. Lord, we understand there's no other God but you. Lord, I pray in our lives, sitting in this room, in our container, we'd put the big one in first. And Lord, I pray that these will join me in this room, whether they be Holy Hills folks, whether they be visitors, don't make any difference. God, they'll make a decision today, Lord, to put you first in their life. God, help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Stand to your feet, all of the building. Won't you come to the altar and pray? I invite you to come. Would you come? Why don't you come and symbolically say, hey, we're going to put the big one in first. We'll fill in all the rest later. We'll fill in the rest of our lives. But the first thing we're putting in is God Almighty. You might want to do that. It'll save your family. It'll save your children. It'll save your job. It'll save your family. It'll save your church. To remember God first. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. Folks are still coming to pray. And you got time. You got time. The song says he'll save you. Oh, he'll save you. He'll save you today. Mark plays, people are praying. You still got time to come. Say, preacher, I've never been saved. I've never trusted Christ. You ought to do it today. You ought to do it today. How can you refuse a God like that? How could you refuse the love of God like that? Say, preacher, God's not first in my life. Well, you're either to come down here or pray there in your seat, whatever you need to do. Just make sure. First commandment, first one, put him first. Everything. Put him before your family. Put him before your job. Put him before your workplace. Put him before your business. Put him before everything. All the other things will work completely out to his honor and glory. As Mark plays, you got time to come. There's mercy with the Lord.